This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hey, hey, that's right. It is me, Jeremy, your Spider-Pan, and I have a lot of fun in store for you, just like we have every episode. I would like to be able to say every week, but we did miss last week. I've been kind of busy lately, and so wasn't able to get anything together last week. But I did have some plans for this week because Free Comic Book Day was this past Saturday, and I'm sorry I was not prepping. Normally, you know, I'm preparing for Free Comic Book Day, and I'm talking about it as we get up to it, and I go through and I talk about all the different comics that are going to be available to you. I was not on my game this time. It really threw me off that. You know, because last year, of course, we didn't get to have Free Comic Book Day, and this year it got delayed here until August 14th, which was fun because that is Lost Boy Phillips' birthday. He's now 45 years of age, so it was kind of fun to go out for his birthday and celebrate Free Comic Book Day, really in the fashion of like what we would always do. And, you know, it's always fun to go run around with Phillip on Free Comic Book Day. So it was nice to be able to do that again. We were joined by our friend Seth. We had some fun and some adventures. I did record with them later on to get some of our thoughts of what we grabbed. And also got to talk to Seth. He was a beta tester for the new Madden 22 game. He is big on football. He used to play football in high school and everything. We used to throw a football around with him and trying to catch a pass from him. He could throw a bullet at you. And it was hard to catch because I'm not athletic. Let's just face it. I'm not athletic. I could not really catch it. But yeah, he could pound it right in there. But he was on target. So he's a big football guy. And he has always been in on EA and, you know, having like good suggestions on what he would like to see in a game. And so he actually got sent in where he was able to beta test the new game. So he's going to share some thoughts on the new Madden, which I believe actually comes out, I think, this week. Preseason has started off. And of course, during this episode, the funny thing is we're going to talk about comic books and toys and things. I started asking Seth about Madden, and we started talking about the Chiefs. We're all here in Kansas City. We're Chiefs fans, so we started talking some football, which we don't really do that often here in the show, to have, especially the amount of time we spent talking about football this time around. Is very, very different for us, I must say. So one thing that I do want to share about what I've been watching this week, Philip was given a movie by his brother. And I when I was over there, you know, picking him up because he's not allowed to drive currently. But I saw this movie sitting on his shelf with his DVD player, and it had the goofiest cheese ball cover and the name of the movie, Megaforce. And I said, what in the world kind of cheese ball movie is this? And he says, oh, it is like the worst, one of the worst movies ever. You got to watch it. This was something apparently he and his brothers, they had a toy van that was that was merchandise that was made by Mattel of this movie. And they didn't, I guess they weren't that aware of the movie being about it, but his brother found the movie and I guess his brother has a copy. And so he had to get a copy for Philip for his birthday. And so we watched this movie and it is really bad. And this came out in 1982, and I guess they thought this was going to be a big hit, had planned on maybe doing a trilogy. I'm trying to think, is it Barry Bostwick or Brian Bostwick? I always want to call him Brian, but I think it's Barry Bostwick. You might know him from the Rocky Horror Picture Show or Spin City. Yes, Barry Bostwick. He was the hero and star of this. you know, had this big full beard and this kind of feathered blonde hair in this, you know, and we kind of joked that, you know, I think Chuck Norris was probably approached for this kind of movie, but Chuck Norris probably looked at the script and said, no. This could have been the precursor of the updated G.I. Joe, which Hasbro would have had later, where you had G.I. Joe versus Cobra, as opposed to having a single figure Barbie sized. This movie is so bad. There's definitely some stuff you can laugh at, but after a while, some of the stuff was so bad. I was like, oh, this is almost painful. It's so bad. Not even just from cheesy dialogue that doesn't make sense. But there's even one point because the bad guy is friends with Barry Boswick's character, who is named Ace Hunter. you cannot make that. Well, I guess you can make this up because they did. But the bad guy comes by himself to their location where they're camping out. It's like, okay, there's the bad guy. You need to stop what he's doing, don't you? Why doesn't somebody grab him? Kill him or something? I mean, you're going to full on military action with this guy. You know, he's got a whole tank platoon. He's apparently invading other countries and you need to stop him. And the entire plot of the movie is they're trying to invade into this guy's country, attack a weapons depot, and then run for the border and try to lure him out of the country where apparently they can deal with him that way. And that way they're trying to not have an international incident, I guess. I guess maybe that's why we're in when he can show up at the camp, they don't do anything with him. But like, you really could do everything a lot of good if you just grab him. Heck, grab him, take him across the border, and then arrest him on the other side of the border officially or something. I don't know, but it was really ridiculous. Even the point, you know, their vehicles are basically dune buggies and motorcycles. They're wearing tight clothes. I mean, tights. I mean, you know, you could see everything on these guys that are supposed to be part of this mega force. And really, if you're riding on a motorcycle, you're going up against tanks. You really have no protection against a tank on this tiny little motorcycle. It was just silly. And of course, they had machine guns on the front of the motorcycle, which the only way to aim was you'd have to get a wheelie and then you'd have to turn your thing. But you're really not going to aim very well that way. It was the thought process was more about, hey, we could make toys, more than this being practical and useful in any fashion whatsoever. Among other crimes, I could go on for a long time talking about everything that's really, really wrong with this movie. I already went on my rant yesterday when I got home. I was talking to poor the Wendy nerd, my wife Heather. I went on a bit of a thing about, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe this. I had to show her a trailer. Says, you could not believe that somebody actually made this movie and they took this seriously and thought it was going to be a hit. It is, oh my goodness, it is horrendous.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Okay, I want to dive into some news. This week, by the way, we will not be visiting the trailer park. I didn't really get anything prepared for that. I don't remember if there was any new trailers that came out this week for anything, but there is some new things coming. There is, in 2022, a second season of Star Wars The Bad Batch, which did have its season finale this week. I actually have not gotten a chance to watch it yet, so we weren't able to review it, but we will later review and talk about the first episode of Marvel's What If on Disney Plus. So, yes, Disney Plus will have another series of Bad Batch, which, yeah, not surprising at all, really. Something that is surprising, though, is a Lego Star Wars Halloween special. Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales coming to Disney Plus October 1st. And I have a description here that says Poe and BB-8 must make an emergency landing on the volcanic planet Mustafar, where they meet the greeting and conniving Grabala the Hutt. I don't know how they're going to pronounce that. Grabala the Hutt, who has purchased Darth Vader's castle and is renovating into the galaxy's first all-inclusive Sith-inspired luxury hotel. While waiting for his X-Wing to be repaired, Poe, BB-8, Grabala, and Dean, a plucky and courageous young boy who works as Grabala's mechanic, venture deep into the mysterious castle with Vader's loyal servant, Vanier. I guess that's how you're saying it. It's got an accent on one of the two E's. Along the way, Vanier, I don't know how they're going to say this, shares three creepy stories linked to ancient artifacts and iconic villains from across all eras of Star Wars. As Vanier, or I'm going to say it three different ways by now, spins his tails and lures our heroes deeper into the shadowy underbelly of the castle. A sinister plan emerges. With the help of Dean, Poe, and BB-8, we'll have to face their fears, stop an ancient evil from rising, and escape to make it all back to their friends. I don't know how scary this will be. This might be similar to the Toy Story Halloween special, where it has, like, the first 10 minutes is a little creepy and scary, but it's also too funny. But then it just becomes a typical, feels very much like a Toy Story plot. It's very, once you get to a certain point, it's something you would expect from Toy Story characters, and it doesn't feel Halloween-y at all. I forgot what they call that. The Toy Story of Tale of Terror or something like that. It is a very enjoyable special. But yeah, so now we're going to have Disney Plus. We are going to have a Lego Star Wars special. But, of course, I don't think they really have Halloween in the Star Wars galaxy that we know of. And the album that was released a long time ago is not official canon for the Christmas album where you have S. Claus, if anyone knows what I'm talking about with that old record. That is not officially canon. One thing I do want to throw in, speaking of What If, because we forgot to mention this when we did our review, which you're going to hear later, is I saw here on Nerdist that they're figuring that Shuma Gorath actually made an appearance. And I hadn't thought of that when I was watching it. But this appears to be something. I guess there's some rumors going around that Shuma Gorath is going to appear in the Doctor Strange film, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So, and this is like a weird cosmic entity, and he's this weird tentacle monster in an eyeball. For anyone who played the arcade game Marvel Superheroes, it was a fighting game. Shuma Gorath was in there, and that's where I'm mainly familiar with him. And he's like this big eyeball and all these tentacles and everything. I don't know a whole lot about him. I'll probably have to do a bit more research. If that turns out indeed to be who's going to be in this film, we'll definitely look into one of the main characters. But Nerdist does have some stuff and says, an ancient lord of chaos who's existed since the beginning of time, Shuma Gorath's powers are varied and ranging. The phrase, his secret is his power and his power is his secret, is uttered often in his earliest appearances. The monster wishes to take over Earth and claims that he must kill Doctor Strange to do so. Shuma Gorath changes size, crushes with his massive tentacles, and shoots blasts from his enormous eye. The Capcom series imbued him with even more specific abilities, including spikers from his slimy skin, turning to stone, and devastating opponents with his Chaos Dimension Hyper Combo. Yes, Capcom, I think they used him not only just in the Marvel Superheroes game, but when they did those Marvel versus Capcom games, I think he appeared in a couple of those as well. So something else that popped up this week, Idris Elba released a picture of a gloved hand with two spikes on it, and you kind of see a bit of red arm, and he's got it, hashtag Sonic Movie 2, hashtag Knuckles, announcing that he is joining the cast of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 as the voice of Knuckles. And this is I haven't played a whole lot of the Sonic games. I'm not that familiar with them, but this is listed as Sonic's scrappy nemesis turned compatriot. So this was announced on Tuesday. This is going to be awesome. I don't know that much about Knuckles, but Idris Elba, I just like him. I think he's really cool. So I'm pretty excited about that. That's going to be really, really neat. On to something really kind of cool. You'll have to check your local listings. Fathom Events has announced Labyrinth, the 35th anniversary, in theaters. Sunday, September the 12th, Monday, September 13th, Wednesday, September 15th. Kind of weird it's a Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, but I'll go on a Sunday sometime to see. I never saw Labyrinth on a big screen. But Labyrinth, the 1986 film from Jim Henson. This was, of course, after Dark Crystal. Dark Crystal, since it didn't go over as well as he expected, it was dark. You never saw a single human. Jim Henson decided to lighten the tone a little bit with Labyrinth and actually have some humans in the cast. And this was actually written by, did Terry Gilliam? Let me see. A member of Monty Python did write the script. And it does not say here where I'm looking on who wrote the script. But yeah, I remember it was the same guy who wrote Time Bandits, wrote the script for Labyrinth. And I think it's a lot of fun. This is the first thing I saw Jennifer Connelly in. I actually was not aware of David Bowie until I saw this film. And it's got great music. I have the soundtrack. This, I think it was the same composer who even did the music for The Dark Crystal, but also some songs by David Bowie. If you've never seen this, it's a great movie. I think we may have covered this pretty well. Even back when David Bowie passed away, we talked about this movie. It's a great movie. But it says here on Fathom Events, the 35th anniversary screenings of Jim Henson's Labyrinth will be preceded by a brief featurette entitled The Henson Legacy. Jennifer Connelly and the Henson family talk about the art of puppetry and the magic of Jim Henson, along with a visit to the Center for Puppetry Arts, featuring Jim Henson collection and over 100 puppets from Labyrinth. I'm punching in my zip code right now, and I'm going to see, yes, it will be playing a couple of times at a theater near me. I'm going to have to keep that in mind and get myself some tickets. I'm going to leave that webpage up. I'm definitely leaving that webpage up so I can get a look at it later. All right, something else. You know, this was just a weird, random thing I actually heard. Alfred Molina got married to Jennifer Lee. Jennifer Lee, you might know her as the writer and co-director of Frozen, right? Alfred Molina, he actually voiced King Agnar, but you might have seen him in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's there in the beginning. He's the one guy going with Indy that stays with him, goes into the temple, and tries to take the idol away, you know, and ends up forgetting about that trap with the spikes and you go by the sun. He was a lot thinner then, but Alfred Molina, despite me having seen him in that, I became more aware of him when he played Doc Ock in Spider-Man 2. So, yes, they got married, and that's very, very cool. There's quite the age difference. Jennifer Lee's 49. Alfred Molina is 68. My goodness. So, but yeah, congratulations. That is very nice. It's kind of almost a weird way of, well, like a Disney wedding in its own sort of way. So other things that popped out, you know, there was a lot of different news. A lot of people were talking about some of the prices of the Star Wars Star Cruiser type resort thing being extravagantly expensive. I'm not surprised by that at all. I mean, I knew it was going to be super expensive, and it's going to be something for the wealthy. Middle class probably need not apply. And, you know, if you're broke like me, don't even think about it. But something else that came along, Catherine Zeta-Jones will be playing Morticia Adams, and Luis Guzman will be playing Gomez Adams in this upcoming Wednesday TV series, with Jenna Ortega as Wednesday, being directed by Tim Burton for Netflix. Now, I think I've previously gone on to say I'm not a fan enough of Wednesday where I want a series based off of her. I'd like an Addams Family series, but this bit of casting, I'm kind of a little like, oh, hey, maybe I want to watch this after all. I don't know. I think I'm going to have to check it out, because Catherine Zeta-Jones as Morticia sounds fantastic. You're probably familiar with her from... she was in a lot of things in the 90s. Probably most famously was The Mark of Zorro, wasn't it? Was that what they called it? Where they rebrought Zorro back with Antonio Banderas. Catherine Zeta-Jones, very lovely actress. Nice, very long, dark hair. Perfect for Morticia. British actress, Welsh. She's from Wales. And then, of course, Luis Guzman. If you saw his face, you'd be like, oh, that guy! I think one of his best roles was Count of Monte Cristo. He was kind of almost like the servant and an advisor to the Count. Just a great character. He's not what I'd call a very handsome man, but he's just loaded with charm. He's always very likable, very affable. He's great at playing those type of characters. And him as Gomez Adams kind of got me excited. Like, oh, I could see him playing Gomez Adams. And he's even got these nice eyebrows and he almost looks half sinister, but he's always, Luis Guzman just has a charm to him. But yeah, go look up a picture of him. You're going to be like, oh yeah, I've seen him in a lot of things. He's never been like a big star of anything. He's always been some supporting character, but he's always great in those supporting roles. So, you know, hey, I am quite excited about that. Well, one thing that has come to my attention is there's a Spidey and his amazing friends coming aimed at preschool. And they've put a wall up apparently in Disney's California Adventure. And so when I hear Spidey and his amazing friends, I'm expecting Iceman and Firestar. But looking at some of the imagery in this wall, it looks like it is Miles and the Spider-Gwen, which I guess I don't know if they're going to call her the Ghost Spider or what, but it's the Gwen Stacy version. So it's a Disney Junior series, Team Spidey, and they're going, of course, they're going to team up with Hulk and Ms. Marvel and Black Panther, fighting foes like Rhino, Doc Ock, and Green Goblin. And it's, of course, aimed at preschoolers. It's starting August 6th, which I guess already kicked off. So I have not watched any of this. It's aimed at preschool, so I'm not really the target audience. So I don't know that I'd really be that interested in that. So, but yeah, it's kind of nice, a nice Spidey series. I would, you know, I guess if I want to watch Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, it is available on Disney Plus, and I will watch the daylights of that. All right, so we've been running around for Free Comic Book Day, hitting a few shops here in the area. We went three different places, one place for comics, and then we went some other places just to look at some toys and just having a good time and looking at some stuff here. But I'm here, of course, with Lost Boy Philip, and then Seth, we haven't given you a Lost Boy name at all, have we?
No.
We're just going to call you Lost Boy Seth.
Okay.
All right, so, of course, you know, Free Comic Book Day, there wasn't a lot of places that were participating this year, and it was delayed, and it's actually on Philip's birthday here we got to do this. So, and Philip's trying to plug us in. You probably shouldn't be messing with the power while we're recording.
That's what Philip does.
Because it's like, yeah, that's how Phil do, something like that. All right, so we actually did find, you know, the first shop we went to, we actually had to buy in order to get more than two items free. So I ended up having to get, they had some dollar comics. I got a dollar comic and found the Master Universe Red of Relation. But what'd you find free, Phil?
Well, let me look here. I'm looking because I don't remember. taking all this out of the bag so you don't hear the sound. Okay. I'm a big fan of Archie comics, and so, because I'm a nerd, but I got Archie Past, Present, and Future Fun.
And wow, that's embracing like the old school and like the new Riverdale.
Mm-hmm. It's even got from when he was a little bitty guy.
Yeah.
So it's got every version. The original, because he used to just, for the longest time, before they tried to get all modernized on it, they tried to get, it has basically his original style, mostly that, because that's, you know, we had like 50 years of that, longer than that, really. But we have mostly that, so it has just about every version of Archie that you could have. And it's almost, right now, there's this thing right now where you're mixing every kind of what they call multiverse.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're kind of jumping in on the fun, the multiversing of Archie. Because it looks to me, I opened up for just a second, and it looked like all the Archies are meeting.
Oh, my goodness.
So that'll be fun. And I also have the Batman Special Edition. I haven't looked at it yet, but it says, get your first look at Batman Fear State, and I am, or what is that?
Is it JMM Batman? Is that what I'm thinking?
I am Batman is what it looks like.
Oh, yeah, I think you might be right. I am Batman.
See, it has a symbol in between the M, the A, and the I, so it's kind of hard to tell, but I see it now. Yeah.
I'm making it hard to read here.
It is. It does make it hard to read, but it's cool. And then we have Suicide Squad King Shark Special Edition. I like King Shark.
Which I hear he's voiced by Sylvester Stallone in the movie.
He is. And then I got the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Hero, and also featuring Hulk. I like Hulk. As far as the comics I bought some Star Wars.
Yeah, some of the new Marvel Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it.
Is that volumes 1 and 2 there?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I think I have most of those actual comics. I haven't even gotten to read all the comics I've bought, but I was collecting the straight comics there for a while. Oh, what's this?
This here is the greatest stories ever told of Superman and Batman. This is supposed to be the
Alex Ross art, by the way.
Yes, that's right. It's the greatest stories ever told, and it's supposed to be the of the world's finest. Is why I got it, because
your two favorite guys, anyway.
That's right. And I got Superboy, so the old original Superboy.
Greatest team up stories ever told. How nice! Yeah. And you got those like half price.
Yes, I did.
And which was a good deal.
Yeah, very very happy about that. My two favorite superheroes of all time.
Indeed.
The originals, really.
I actually did fairly similar to you. I had to spend at least $5 to be able to get five different free comics, so I actually had to pay to get free stuff. Who thought? But I did find the Masters Universe Revelation. I found only one issue of it, and I think it's the Mike Mignola cover art, which I don't know that everybody... I saw a lot of people who really didn't like this cover. I'm not really that keen on it, but at least I got the comic. This is one of the prequel comics.
Yeah, I looked for it. I didn't see it.
Yeah. There was one copy, and I got it.
They
I'll let you read it sometime.
One, but I didn't buy it.
I didn't see the second one.
It was right behind it.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
I assumed you bought it.
No. Oh, man. I didn't see it behind it. Dadgummit. Yeah,
they did.
Because I would have bought that instead of going... I bought a dollar Superman issue, a past Superman issue, to kind of fill out the $5 so I can get the stuff. Where did I put that Superman issue I bought? But I found a Smurfs Tales, and I grabbed it mainly because There's a company who's been kind of re-releasing the original Peyo comics.
I got some of those.
And I've enjoyed them, and it's nice to see like the origins of the Smurfs and like how Peyo used to draw them. I found a Blade Runner 2029 Origins comic, so I thought I wanted to read that. I got the same Batman one you got. But of course, now I didn't realize this was one of last year's comics, a Spider-Man comic, so I've already got this one.
Most likely.
But they were talking about, oh yeah, this was a big deal last year. So, but it was a Spider-Man, so I grabbed it. And then there's a Spider-Man Venom that I found, and of course I had to get it because it's Spider-Man. Oh, here's the Superman I got. It's number 86 from 1994. And they had a lot of Superman comics, and really, if I'd had more money to go spending and just for a bunch of dollar comics, I would have grabbed a ton of them because they did. They had a ton of them back there for a dollar. Old ones from the 90s here, and I just thought the cover was kind of cool. So I judged a book by its cover. And I bought it because I was like, well, I want a dollar. And I was looking for some Spider-Man, but I didn't see any. But I saw a ton of Superman. I'm like, I like Superman, too. So yeah. I'm going to get me some Superman. So but then we hit some toy stores. Oh, my goodness. Back in time in Liberty, Missouri. It was kind of off. It was off of 152 and I guess 291. And there's a little shopping center. It's kind of in the back. This was like an antique store of comics. I mean, I brought me all kinds of memories looking. They had old Ninja Turtles. I even saw the full $6 Million Man toys. Yeah. Saw some of those. Oh, my goodness. About anything. Buck Rogers toys. They had the full Eternia play set, selling it for about near $3,000. I didn't realize how big that set that was. That had been somewhat near.
My cousin did.
Oh.
And he had a lot of things. And I was over there at his house playing with that in Wisconsin. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He had almost all the He-Mans. And then years later, he got into the Ninja Turtles, and he had almost all of those.
Wow.
So we had several play sets from that. And that was a lot of fun, too. So sometimes we combine that with Eternia stuff.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, like, the Revelation series brought the Eternia playset back to life for us by having it as part of the, it was basically like the Heaven. It was not Preternia, but what do they call it?
Preternia Heaven, we'll call it.
Preternia was supposed to be the Land of the Dead, wasn't it? No, that was Underturnia or whatever. Preternia was the Heaven. Yeah. What was the underground one? I forgot. Dang it. That's all right. But yeah, which they were actually using concepts from some of the newer canon where they have the underground Eternia. And then the Preternia in the regular canon is supposed to be like prehistoric.
Yeah.
So it was kind of weird that they used it as a Heaven thing. But it was really cool to see the Eternia playset. Now, did you see anything that you used to play with, Seth?
Oh, you know, I saw all kinds of things, like, you know, the G.I. Joes, that was the main thing.
What was the name of that thing you had that was like a cobra head? What was that?
I don't remember the name.
Oh, the whatever, it was like a different playset, and you guys said you used to use it with your G.I. Joe? Yeah,
but it looked like the cobra head, so we used to use that as our cobra base and, you know, transformer base, whatever we needed it for. It was a bad guy.
Back in our day, we used to combine everything together.
Yeah. Well, that's what you would do. You would mix all your toys together so you could have your own adventures. And
yeah, Star Wars and He-Man.
G.I. Joe figures were about the same size as Star Wars.
Yeah, so I can't tell you how many times, you know, we had Duke and Princess Leia had a little romance going on.
Oh, my goodness.
It was just the way it was. We combined all the worlds together, just how it was.
Don't tell Han.
Cobra Commander hanging out.
Yeah. Which I think actually happened in some comics.
I used to love to see Darth Vader, you know, teaming up with Cobra Commander and taking on the whole world. That was a lot of fun. Back in the Skeletor 2, I didn't care about size.
That's one of the things. If I'd had money to spend and stuff, I saw Battle Armor Skeletor. I used to have a Battle Armor Skeletor. I saw a Battle Armor He-Man. There's a Thunder Punch He-Man. I mean, all kinds of. If I had just a bunch of money that I could throw it away and stuff, I could go in that store and go to town.
No.
But there was some stuff super expensive.
Yeah, Seth wouldn't.
Seth unfortunately grew up a bit.
No, you know, I enjoyed, you know, the observing, watching you guys, you know, go nuts over the toys. And
the difference is Seth actually had children, so he'd had to grow up because he had his daughter.
You battling the will, you know, not to buy a Hordak. I mean, that was the greatest struggle I'd ever seen in my life. You know, you sitting there looking at it saying, if I can just balance, I can find a way.
I was checking for room on a credit card. I was.
You know, that was an epic
struggle.
Some
people have seen He-Man versus Skeletor Some have seen Hulk versus Andre. Others have seen David versus Goliath. And then there's Jeremy versus Hordak.
But there is a happy ending because he does have Orko to go home.
Yeah, I did find a Super 7 Orko from that looked like the classic animated series that I had room on a credit card, so I put it on there. That, and then when we went, one of the shops we went to had like the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated series trading cards that I used to have when I was a kid. And I got a whole mess of them things for real cheap, too. So it's just fun finding this stuff. But you found a Jean Grey Marvel Girl style figure.
Yeah, I have some of the X-Men stuff that I have. But one thing I'd like to get eventually is like the original type of X-Men.
Yeah.
But they made different figures of that before, but they're very expensive. At least I like this version. This is not her original outfit, but it is whenever she had, I don't know what you want to call them, those spiky.
The weird mask.
Yeah, weird spiky mask.
Wow. It was like pre-X-Factor. That's what she wore even like right before she became possessed by the Phoenix Force.
Yeah.
She was wearing that. And even like when they have the Dark Phoenix saga at the end, when she's kind of part of her own faculties and she's trying to fight for her own life there on the moon, she wears that.
I have a perfect Scott that will go good with that. So.
Oh, like the old Scott. Nice. Nice. Very, very cool. So, but yeah, so we went to like a Back in Time store in Liberty. We went to a Vintage and Vintage Shop. We went to Bebop Comics, which is in Kansas City, kind of off of I-29. I'm going to advertise for these places we went to by letting people know that we went to them. The only place we really didn't buy anything was that Vintage stock in Liberty.
Yeah.
So that's where I was resisting the urge to buy that Hordak.
Yep, that was a struggle.
It was a struggle, and I'm glad I didn't have enough room on my credit card because that stopped me. It stopped me, and I had it because I'm trying to think and be responsible. And
he's thought about it so much that he's going to dream of it.
Yeah,
I guarantee you.
Well, when things turn around for me, when things turn around for me, I will go back and get some of these things. You know, when I have money to be able to get some little things, you know. Need to get some little things for my Heather, too. So but it'll be nice when things turn around. But things are just rough and tight. But I also wanted to ask you, okay, so, and I guess it comes out this week, but you've gotten to play the beta of the new Madden. And they've been working on retooling the entire game, haven't they?
Well, they put a lot of effort in the franchise because for whatever reason, I don't know what happened, but it was like after the PS2 era, then they went to, you know, the PS3, Xbox 360, and they remade the game, but it was terrible.
Yeah, it's a lot more simulation than from the old games that I used to play.
Well, it got worse than that, actually, because it went from simulation to just crap. I mean, that's that's all it was. You didn't have, like, the ratings didn't seem to matter as much. I could put the punter in as a right tackle, and he could, you know.
Oh, I guess.
You know, So, you know, needless to say, they've gone through different development teams because it's kind of. The last really good Madden until this one was probably Madden 12, but they went through different development teams, and finally this year they went back and put some effort into franchise mode where you can, you know, actually where it actually seems like you're running your team and it doesn't just feel like a series of games, like you have a story that goes along with it. You can see how you build your roster. You can have your coaches and give them different abilities and stuff, or you can be the owner and fire Andy Reid and put yourself in as coach.
You wouldn't want to get rid of Big Red, though, would you?
No, but in video game, I might want the glory. You know, sorry, Big Red, you know, you won one Super Bowl, but I can win 10 in a row on Madden.
Yeah, that's one of the things that, like, the last one I bought is because Patrick Mahomes was on the cover. So that's at the 20, I believe.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this year it was kind of weird. I don't know. You know, they've only had two people on the cover once before, and that was for Madden 10. But they decided to put Tom Brady with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. And I don't want Tom Brady on my cover. Just
well,
want Pat.
Well, you know. I think it's worth getting. If you don't get it every year, you'll actually notice a difference in this one, because it usually takes them like 2 or 3 years to where you notice a big difference. And so, you know, if you want all the differences that you hadn't had before with franchise mode and all that stuff, you'll get it this year. I mean, it's still mad and there's glitches, you know, and things you'll get mad at. Like I know there was a funny glitch, as a matter of fact, yesterday. I was playing the Chiefs, and of course, and I won the game. game. And so there's like this cutscene, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a happy thing. All of a sudden, it shows Travis Kelce. He looks like he's crying. And he's like, man, I'm sorry we let you down. And I'm like, what? We won the game. And Andy Reid's like, well, it's only one game. We'll do better next time.
Wow.
And it was playing like this emotional song during it. Like, I've never seen that on a Madden game before, so that was kind of funny.
Story mode.
Yeah, it's one of the things I noticed, like, different, like, because the one I've got, because normally I'm used to, because I got, I think, the old 3 one on my GameCube, and I used to play the daylights out of that. But yeah, I created a player. I think I created a quarterback. And so basically, you know, I'm basically playing as every member of the team on that one. Now, this new one, when I got with Patrick Mahomes, I wasn't going to replace quarterback. I got Mahomes in there as a quarterback. I was like, let me be one of his running backs or something. So I created myself as a running back. But now, I mean, they went for a realism. When I'm going in that mode, I only get to play when I'm in on that play. And then I've got a route or something to run. Doesn't mean I'm going to get the ball or get anything to really do.
Well,
and I didn't like that. I wanted to play as the team.
The career mode, as far as playing as players, is kind of shallow still. So, you know, if you're looking for, you know, that's not really the most fun you're going to have. The most fun you're going to have is with franchise mode. Or
is that where you, do you still get to play the games, or are you just running the business on franchise mode?
You play the games,
okay.
And you just get to run more of the player development types of things. And they've also got a new thing for franchise. It's not coming out till September. They're having an update. They overhauled the scouting.
So like, I bet they're going to make you pay for it like a DLC.
Oh, it's free.
It is EA.
that's what you think. And so everybody, but EA is actually, they've taken so much flack over there. not just Madden, but like other games. Like this year, they have some new person that's in charge of it. And, you know, they're trying to do the whole thing of, you know, we're going away from all that paid DLC. And for some of that, that's true. But, you know, you got the new Battlefield game that's coming out, and that's all multiplayer DLC. So they're not telling the truth on that.
Yeah.
But at least when it comes to Madden, they're actually trying to get some of the fans back, because they lost a lot of fans over the last few years.
I mean, they were the end-all, be-all of football games.
Well, they were in the PS2 era. Like, you could go from, like, the beginning of the PS2 till probably 2007 on PS2. Those were the best Madden games. But then they got lazy, and they hired a bunch of people from Disney that didn't know what they were doing because they didn't know how to animate games. So when they were developing it, all they were concerned about was how it looked standing still. People were like, that looks good and all, but it's actually got to move and stuff.
Yeah.
And so they released this trailer that made it look like a movie. So everybody's like, yeah, the new Madden's going to be great. And then all of a sudden it came out in November, and people were like, they're cursing, you know, basically. They're like, that doesn't look any, and it didn't. It didn't look anything like that.
Oh, man.
And so it was just on a steady hill decline, you know, until recently.
Well, it's just an opinion.
Right.
But I think one of their biggest problems was, if you recall, Seth, one of the biggest problems, I don't remember the name of the game right now. You remember the game they bought out?
Well, the best game was going to be the ESPN 2K NFL series.
Oh, yeah.
Like 2K5, that, to many people, that's still the best NFL game they've ever made.
Those were like the 4-5 games or whatever, right?
Yeah, the NFL.
Sony started making some.
Well, Sony had them, right. And then 2K had them. And so,
yeah.
And then the 2K games were really good, and they released it that year for $19, and it scared EA, because they're like, wait a second. And the bad thing is, there's like features in that game from way back then that aren't even in.
So what did they do? Tell them what they did. Instead of improving their game of Madden, instead of doing their best to make a better game, instead of doing that or wanting a good competitor so that they could continue to get better and better, tell them what they did, Seth.
Well, they went to the NFL and were like, please, we just want to be the exclusive maker. And so that's why all those other games went off the market. And so that made a lot of people. It even made Philip mad, because Philip was a fan of the 2K games, which will tell you something. Philip's just a very casual fan, but even he loved that game. And so
I don't remember if I owned it, but I think my friend Josh had some of the 2K football games, and I remember playing them. I was like, wow, this beats the heck out of Madden.
Well, it did. It was like the first game where you actually had a pregame show. Like they had Chris Berman going.
I remember that.
You know, and you'd get the lines like, they do with the old primetime. We used to watch the NFL primetime things, and you'd have them in there, primetime. And then you had his partner, Tom Jackson, who was Phillip's favorite, who anytime somebody would be tackling, it'd be whoop, 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 you know, making those weird noises. And so you had all of that in the game, and it was like the first one that had, like, cutscenes of the fans after something would happen. You know, if you did good, you'd see the whole crowd cheering for it.
Yeah.
But if you were stinking, it would show, like, only one or two fans left in the stadium.
They all left.
Everybody, they'd show them going out to their cars.
Yeah,
and it looked sad. The ones that are still there would look sad. It seemed so real. There's times that I really felt like I was at a game. I mean, it really felt that real, that the mood would change and it would get quiet. And, I mean, everything. I loved it so much that I found myself just getting more and more involved with football because of that game.
Mm. Yeah, like, you know, Phillip would be sitting there playing it during the week to get pumped up. And, you know, in a shock, he should be asleep. But he's like, you're not going to believe what happened in this game. And he'd be talking about it like it was the real game that just happened. It'd be like that jerk. Talking about Peyton Manning, you know.
Oh.
You know, he'd be, that jerk, I'm going to kill him. I'm like, well, they don't play until in my game, he really.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, so that's the thing. Sometimes you have more fun playing the game than watching the games. When the Chiefs weren't doing as good as they are now, I mean, I had more fun playing the games.
You had to play the games for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because we had some terrible players. Like,
man, for a while we did.
Well, you remember we ran out there with guys like Damon Hewitt, who were awful, who never would ever start on any other team. The OG Mr. Glass, Brokey Croyle. You know, Brody Croyle. Now, I know you remember Brody, because
some of you hopefully are getting the why we're like, oh yes, don't remind us of it.
They hyped that guy up, and he could throw a ball far, but if you touched him, he shattered like Mr. Glass. Always getting hurt. And then they went from Dick Vermeil to Herm Edwards. And you know, Dick Vermeil, you know, he was at least good enough.
Yeah, Dick Vermeil was good.
You were competitive. I mean, he didn't do anything in the playoffs, but
right.
You know, he came up short, you know, in the playoffs.
I love Dick Vermeil. Always one of my favorite guys. I was like, I'm not going to cry today, but when we talk about it, he started crying on me just seconds later.
His last press conference, he came out there, serious, as you'd ever seen him look before. He came out there and said, I'm not going to cry today. But then he said, but you're green.
Yeah.
And, you know, just started. He was famous for crying and stuff. And so we went from him to Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards is a great talker.
Yeah.
Terrible coach, but he'd go out there. They used to call him the Sermon from Herman. Because he would get up there and talk about, we're going to play in the grass. And they would get their rear ends handed to him. And, you know, we'd be. And we were loyal fans, whether they've been good or bad. But it was very rough on us, you know.
It was.
You know, so.
Especially when I could get out of a GameCube and I created my own team, the Gladstone Knights, and I did better than the Chiefs were doing.
I know the
much.
So for us to have like Patrick Mahomes, you know, that was something we never thought was going to happen, because we never would draft rookie quarterbacks high. They'd always get like some other washed up quarterback, like Gerback and Bono.
Yeah,
you know, we used to have the San Francisco.
Not that they weren't bad quarterbacks, but we were getting them when they're in their last years.
At least Steve Ono.
It takes more than one good player, though. It takes more than one good player, and I hate to say this, but Seth and I had talked so many times about maybe we'll do better this year. Maybe we'll do better. We said that for, I forgot how many years. It was over 20 years or more. And so by the time Patrick Mahomes and Seth told me he was going to be good, he'd been telling me that. And by the time that had finally come around, I had just kind of, I hate to say lose hope, because I was always going to love the Chiefs, and I always cheered them on every year. But by that time, I was finally like, I don't know if we'll ever get to the Super Bowl or not. But this year, by gosh, I was in a situation where I wasn't able to watch for a couple of years. At this point, I was like, by gosh, this year I'm going to watch, and I'm going to cheer every second of the way. And I did, and I was thrilled that we got what we did. And I am going to buy the game this year because I have a PlayStation 5. And I can't wait to see how it's going to look on the
PlayStation. Yeah, it's got to be looking amazing.
Well, it's good. You know, I've played it. I mean, of course, there's glitch. Whenever they first come out, there's always some kind of, you know, weird glitchy plays and stuff. And But this one, you can tell they actually attempted to cram a lot in, which for a one-year cycle is pretty good. Yeah. I mean, you know, you probably still are 2 years away from them being where they want to be, but at least they're heading in the right direction as compared to when I put it on the 360. Even Sarah, my daughter, she'd look at that and go, "Boy, Dad, that really looks bad." But I try to make myself, no, Sarah, this is bad, and it's a good game.
Yeah. And you know what's fun about being in Kansas City, being a Chiefs fan is I never thought we'd be one of those teams thought of by the rest of the world as annoying as the Patriots and Tom Brady ever was, where people just couldn't stand the Patriots, so they didn't live there, or Tom Brady. We've become that with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. People are sick and tired of hearing about us. And, you know, especially not going to 2 back-to-back Super Bowls. Didn't win the second one. But, you know, being there, we're becoming that annoying team where we're just that darn good and people are sick of us.
The great thing is they actually have a general manager who doesn't just sit back and, well, we'll hope we find some good leftover. Because the GM, he saw the weakness was the offensive line. Because Patrick Mahomes is having to run for his life. Yeah. I mean, in the Super Bowl, you could say what you want, but he was running for his life.
He was.
You know, it was like unnecessary roughness for the guys. You feel, blow the whistle. I mean, he wasn't even getting 2 seconds to throw the ball. And so they went out there and they got aggressive in free agency, getting Orlando Brown, who was a young and upcoming tackle, to play on the most important spot of the line. Then you got the best free agent guard, Thuney. So you're going to have those two guys together. And we've seen Patrick Mahomes do all this stuff with crappy offensive lines.
Yes.
Imagine him with time to throw.
Time to look downfield. He's going to throw that sucker downfield.
I mean, you know, if I was the rest of the NFL, I wouldn't be happy.
Yeah, they'd be not liking us. So
anyone who lives in Kansas City listening to this podcast is loving this. Like, yeah. And hopefully some of you are Chiefs fans. But yeah, I realize we turned this into a Chiefs show all together.
Now, the people who are listening in Russia, you have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, I bet they play some Madden. But of course, you know, those of you in Europe, when we talk about football, you know we're talking about something other than what you would call football, and we call soccer. I don't know why we call it soccer. But the reason why we call it football is the ball is a foot long. I learned that. See, we have a reason to call it football. And, I mean, it makes sense to call soccer football because you're using your feet. That makes sense. I understand that. So you can call your soccer football all you want to. But of course, we have our football. And hopefully you find a way to enjoy it and watch. And you can root for the Chiefs. I give you permission to root for the Chiefs in Europe if you watch any NFL. Because in this age, you can watch it from anywhere. But yeah, this has turned into a Kansas City Chiefs podcast. So I want to turn a corner here real quick. Because I don't know if you've gotten to watch the Marvel What If. Have you watched the first episode?
Yeah.
All right, so Marvel What If debuted this week. I've been kind of looking forward to see what they came up with. And the first thing we got is, now, spoiler warning, if you haven't watched this, go ahead and skip the rest of the show because I don't want to spoil anything for you. But we got to see what would have happened if Peggy Carter had stayed in the room and suddenly everything changed where Peggy Carter ended up with Super Soldier Serum. And the animation looked great. It was computer animation done to look like 2D.
Yeah.
And it was an enjoyable episode. The only thing is, and my wife even looked at me, you know, she didn't watch the entire episode, but we saw Peggy Carter's temperament was probably not a good idea if somebody was Super Soldier. We've been talking football. I'm like Super Bowl. But her as a Super Soldier, I mean, she did some awesome stuff, and we love Peggy Carter, but she doesn't have the right temperament. There was something about Steve Rogers that makes him special with the Super Soldier Serum, that he's got the perfect temperament to where he does it, where Peggy kind of enjoyed it a little too much, a little bit egocentric, and had a nasty temper that if this type of thing would have continued, she might have done something, and you even mentioned the U.S. agent.
Yeah.
Like what we saw in...
Yeah, like they already explored that, you know, already if someone like Steve Rogers hadn't gotten it, so...
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one thing people kind of forgot about Captain America, you know, was that it had to be the right person to get the serum, because, you know, some people are just like, oh, I just inject it into anybody.
Yeah. And she was already, you know, a phenomenal, you know, she was a soldier, was an agent of the, what you later would become S.H.I.E.L.D., and she's a founding member of S.H.I.E.L.D. She was already pretty awesome when we, you know, but now now she's got powers to back it up. And it was really cool. But there's a lot of stuff that, like even in the first Avenger movie, Dr. Erskine, no, not Erskine. What was that guy's name? But anyways, but he says, what makes us good is the weakness that you are, Steve Rogers, but the heart you have. And Peggy is an awesome character, but she didn't have the same heart as Steve. So her with the powers is a frightening idea, but it was an enjoyable episode. I had a good time with it. So it's definitely worth watching. But yeah, you start thinking about the ramifications if it had gone that way, how it would have gone wrong maybe later on.
Let's just hope Nick Fury never gets the serum.
Dude. So, yeah, he would turn all Samuel L. Jackson, I'm tired of this blinker blinking, blinking. You know, yeah.
Any thoughts you want to add in there, Phil?
I was simply thinking to myself while I was watching it was, she got a little egotistical.
Yeah.
And which that could happen if you suddenly have superpowers and all that kind of stuff. But I did kind of like that. You got a sense that Steve became the, in a sense, the original Iron Man.
Yeah, which is people that were asking, it's like, so what happens in this timeline when Tony comes along?
Well, what if, and so we'll never know. I do like that they put the Watcher in there.
Yes.
The narrator, more or less, and I like that.
Yeah.
I also like how, I'm not sure who all they got, but the voice acting in this is very, very well.
It's the original actors came back to voice themselves. Isn't that awesome?
Because they did a good job, so I guess you can do a good job when you are being you.
Chad, you know, Boseman, you know.
Yeah, it's like the last thing he had to do with Black Panther.
The last lines he ever recorded is Black Panther. Panther will be on the next episode.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
That's awesome.
It really is.
But overall, thumbs up. We recommend this series.
I think the animation, of course, it is computerized, but they did such it's a great style. I mean, when we were young, when I was a kid and all, I always dreamed of how they could do shows that look this good. Now, to me, the greatest animated series of all time is Batman the Animated Series, because that's all hand.
That looked fantastic.
And they did a tremendous job.
Yeah, buddy.
And this is an outstanding series, though, because they can do so much and do so quickly now. And they can make it. I mean, Disney is so good at what they do. And to have Disney doing it is, that's dreams come true.
My question is, you guys got to see the Long Halloween for the Batman, the first.
I haven't watched that yet.
Not yet, I haven't.
Is it on HBO Max by any chance yet?
It might be. I haven't seen it.
Because they put a lot of those on the HBO Max.
They haven't yet. You know, they still want you to go buy that one.
Yeah, I can't blame
it. I've read The Long Halloween. I checked out the library. But
Sarah bought it, and so I watched it. So far, it's a pretty good adaptation. Of course, they change certain things around. Just because they want you to
buy part two.
well, they also don't want you to sit there thinking you know every single thing that's going to happen. Kind of like with The Hush that they did.
Yeah. Oh, that was good.
Yeah. That was an interesting twist that they put with The Hush on the animated one.
Yeah. The only time they added stuff that I didn't really care for is the killing joke.
Yeah.
Like you could skip the first 4 to 5 minutes of that and be fine.
Well, they did. They got more graphic than the comic book.
And they didn't get into the comic until like 4 to 5 minutes in.
No, but then the stuff that they did, they got more graphic than the comic did. I mean, so there.
But it's a pretty violent comic, and there is some drawn nudity in bits in the comic. But
and then another thing that they did on Hush. On Hush, they decided to change who the villain was, the main villain.
Yeah, they changed the focus around a little bit.
Surprise you! I'm like, that's stupid.
Yeah. It was still enjoyable though.
Yeah, it was good, but it's like that's dumb. It is dumb. It's like saying, on the new Star Wars movie, we decided to change who Darth Vader's son really is. Why?
Don't say that. They may do it.
That's true.
They may do it. You know, if they think Philip Koontz will buy a ticket to it, if they think Philip Koontz will buy the merchandise, they will.
Star Wars multiverse.
Well, exactly. They'll have it. What if Anakin and Philip will first say, no, I don't want to see it? But what Philip does is he gets very excited. He doesn't always let on, but he'll sit down here and he'll go,
I'm not doing it.
I've heard that. I've heard that before. I'm not gonna buy. Next thing you know, Philip's like, I couldn't contain myself. One example.
Snake.
But one example. WWE 2K20. Philip.
And I regretted it.
Because you had to buy it.
That's right.
Well, how soon do we wait before the WWE 2K22?
I'll find out next week, because next week if they're going to show things about it at SummerSlam.
Oh, okay.
So that's next week, and I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
And we'll try, because it's an upcoming game, and I figured that'd be something to talk about. We like to talk video games here.
AEW has a new game coming out, too, right. And I intend to get both.
And it looks a little cartoony in style. It's Jack Specific making that one, right?
Yes, and it looks really good. I can't wait to get both. I'm looking forward to it.
Of course, and I'll come play with you, of course. Of course I will. And we will make ourselves. You know, I actually even did find on YouTube, and I can't remember what channel it was, but somebody had been... And they were basically doing commentary over, I think they just let the computer do the wrestling, but they were like, oh, look, it's everybody's a cartoon character. And he was doing it like it was something special. I'm like, dude, that's exactly the way we play in WWE games. We make all these comic book characters, cartoon characters, yeah. And stuff like that. That's, I've got my entire show that's basically, you know, of course, I'm in there, too, playing with it. But, yeah, but they do it like it's something special and different. So, alrighty, but yeah, so you know, we would definitely recommend the What If. Bad Batch, unfortunately, I haven't gotten to watch the rest of it, so I can't say anything of my thoughts on it, but you know, I did enjoy it. But I have a habit with Star Wars shows. I don't quite get through all of them all the time. I still haven't finished watching Rebels. I really should. Yeah. Or even Renegades, I didn't watch but maybe two episodes of that. I should probably go watch that sometime, too. Was it Renegades? The one that was before, it was supposed to be the in-between, right before the sequel trilogy. They made a series based on that. It's probably on Disney Plus as well. I think it was called Renegades. I forgot. It was neat. It was done to look like hand drawn, and it was pretty cool. But all right, and this was the beginning of the Resistance and stuff. But I think that wraps up everything that I wanted to have on this here. So we're going to put an end to this here, and I will meet you at the close. So this is the part of the show where I remind you about my podcast reviews. My podcast reviews, I do have a link on the front page of NeverlandPodcast.com. If you happen to be a podcaster and you want to be able to collect all of your reviews, this is the best way to do it because reviews fall all over the place, all over the internet, and my podcast reviews will collect them all for you, email them to you, and let you have a look. And I've even got a nice little setup to where I was able to put some reviews on the front of my website, that front page, and it should update whenever I have some new reviews coming in. So it's very, very nice service, very, very reasonable in price, lots of different packages available. And of course, thank you to Ricky Pope of the Christian Nerds Unite podcast, Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show, and Karen Kennedy for their help and creating our new intro. Want to remind you to follow us, of course, on Facebook. We have both a group and a fan page. If you just search for Neverland Podcast, we're on Twitter at Neverland PCast. And of course, become a patron on our Patreon page at Neverland Podcast. Patreon.com/Neverland Podcast. We love your support. It really does help because, you know, money is tight, and I do appreciate help in paying for all my expenses for running this show. So we thank you for listening. We invite you to come back next week and remind you, of course, to get lost in an adventure.